when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all you precious, precious Blood River Radio listeners, family members, supporters, especially supporters that keep us on the air. Just if you'd like to know, people, we just sent old Sam Bushman a check in just, was it the Thursday? And, you know, without you people out there, you know who you are. I'll mention your name in just a minute. Well, there would be no Blood River Radio. It takes many, many people. There's a bunch of people on this internet right now on the show to keep us going. Anyway, you're listening to Blood River Radio. We were the only radio program I know here in the United States that we advertised that our only mission, our only goal is to fight against global white genocide with people in South Africa as our poster child for the white people who have been trying to eliminate them. They, and you know who they is. They're trying to eliminate the white people of the earth. It's been going on for years. That's what we're here for. We'd like to, like I said, my name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. We are proudly syndicated by Liberty News Radio via Sam Bushman, by New Cloud Media with Jay and Lizzie. It takes a bunch of people to get us out there, folks. And just in case you know what the day is, if I can find it myself, it is Saturday the 16th of May in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2026. And always remember, never ever forget, there is no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ other than nothing. Even though I've been going to an Orthodox church, a Russian / Eastern Orthodox church, a part of that might be a little bit political, helps me get into St. Jude. But there are believers, but it doesn't, the Greek church can't get you in. The Baptist church can't get you in. The Episcopalian, you name it. There's only one way, people. It's Jesus Christ plus nothing. And that's it. Anyway, you know, this is a Blood River Radio. It's a Christian show. So we're going to say a quick prayer, right quick. Like, we have a long ways to go, a short time to get there. We get some great, great, amazing guests on today. And so, people, if you will, bow your head right quick. Like, Almighty God, I would like to thank you for getting me in here once more time to get up to this mic and do battle in my little humble way. I just hope we can strike out a little fear into our enemies. I hope we can do something. Maybe, who knows, Lord, maybe we can encourage some timid soul to help pick up his sword and get in the fight to help fight global white genocide. And Lord, if you will, I hope maybe somebody can come to Christ. We have a little bit of scripture here every now and then, very little, but we're not a Holy Hallelujah show, as you well know, Lord. But Lord, I'd like to ask you to bless the guests we have. Bless everybody on our family. Bless Sam and Lizzie and Jay and the two Dons we have on. Bless everybody. And Lord, keep on giving me the fire to come in here. Never, ever let me fail to ride to the sound of the gunfire. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. People, also, we always pay honor to our donors. We really do. And we have several. As you well know, I was out last week, and Matt Goodwin, he took the show for me. He took the broadcast. We don't call this a show. We call it a broadcast because we try to do battle every week with the devil. It's not really for entertainment, although you have to have some entertainment to keep people listening. Anyway, here's the people who helped keeping us on the last 2 weeks since I've been out. Dennis from Idaho. Hadn't heard from Dennis in a long time. It was really good. Got a nice little note from Dennis and got a little donation, and I really appreciate that. Well, I certainly do, Dennis. We have Jay-Z from Blood River Radio Zone AZ, our old Purple Heart, our fellow Vietnam vet. He still carries the scars, folks, to show for it, from being up close and personal with the VC. And he's a hell of a friend. And without Jay-Z, he's one of our big-time heavy hitters. God bless him. He's such a wonderful man. to meet him. You have to fall in love with the guy. He is one of the most beautiful GTOs I've ever seen, too. Anyway, we have Sasquatch. We can't use real names all the time, folks, and I know you know why. We have a little Sasquatch from down there in Florida. Mr. and Mrs. Sasquatch sent us in a nice donation. They've been with us from the get-go, from day one of Blood River Radio. I really appreciate them so much. He's a hell of a guy, too, and his wife. Keep them in your prayers because they're not in the best of health either. They're really not. And the never-ending Biscuit. Biscuit from down there in the swamps of Florida. Without these people I'm reading, folks, there would be no Blood River Radio. It's that simple. Thank you so much, Biscuit and Sasquatch and Dennis. And also, we have Miss Buddy. Mr. Buddy Kirtland. God bless him. He funded Blood River Radio from the get-go. We were out of funds once, and I was over in Arkansas. Some of our people like to call it the Zinc Fest. I know Don Black knows what the Zinc Fest is. But anyway, over there with the Robs. Without Mr. Buddy, we came home one day, and there was a check in the mail for exactly what we needed to keep Blood River Radio going. So thank you, Mr. Buddy has gone to his reward, but Miss Buddy is still around, still carry on Mr. Buddy's wishes and supporting us. And we have, I think it was Mr. Baker, I've lost his letter, from Jonesboro, Arkansas. He sent us a little donation, too. In fact, I've got a letter on the wall over here. If I remember, I said, and I'll read it after the break. Well, people, that's it for the prayer and the donors. I'll give you a quick rundown of what we're going to be doing. The first hour, we have two giants in the movement. We have a fellow been wanting to get on here for a long time. You'll know one of them. One of them has been on here several times. But he's a giant. We have a fellow who I respect. There's not many. I don't have many heroes anymore. I have a few out there. I'm not as starry-eyed as I used to be. I realize they're human like me, but some of them are greater. We have one man here. We have several. One of the men I really respect, he's incredible. And matter of fact, we have a fellow. He's an attorney up north in New Jersey. And he says Don Black is the man. He said that guy has done stuff that are in Western novels. And it's true. That's Don Black. He's going to be coming on with us tonight. And, and we also have Don Wassel. Don Wassel has been in this movement. In fact, he was one of the leaders of the Populist Party. As I found out, Don was too, Don Black. And I was a member of the Populist Party. But these two guys, they have been in the battle, for years and years and years. They've never given up. But Don Black has one hell of a story. Don Wassel. Like Lee Cochran used to say, he's gone to his reward. He used to be one of our co-hosts. He said, we ain't got no edumacation here. So I let these guys like Don Wassel, who has the edumacation. And I like to get different people on that I respect. So what else do we got? That's all that's all the housekeeping so much. That's everything. That's all the I forgot. Second hour, Monica Schaefer. Monica Schaefer's coming in. I talked to her today. She has a very emotional story. It's right into 1984, where the powers that be, the men, like Monica says, the men that wear the tiny little hats are trying to slander her dad. Her dad was a medical doctor. He did all kinds of pro bono work for the Eskimos. She's going to tell you that story. We'll have Paul from, also from Canada. Those two people are from Canada. That's going to be one hell of a story. And we also have the professor, the bitter ender, the general, Gene Andrews, coming on to continue on with Confederate history in the third hour. Folks, that's it. That's all I can think of right now. So now we're going to introduce these two guys. These guys, I really respect them to no end. So I guess we'll bring Don. How are you doing, Don Black?
I'm doing good. And it's certainly great to be here with two old friends. After all these decades, years and decades. So I really appreciate your inviting me, Eddie. I know you've been calling me for, a few months now. And we finally were able to get together on this show. So I really appreciate it. And I appreciate having Don here with us as well, another old friend, of decades long. And Don's are getting real popular now, we've got an even more famous one across the intercoastal from where I am now, where we've lived many decades. We won't be here much longer, but he certainly makes the news every now and then. Unfortunately, he seems to have sold us out, but as far as his new war in Iran, But nevertheless, he's always entertained us for many years, ever since he bought Mar-a-Lago. And we did have some higher hopes for him at one point. But still, I appreciate the fact that he stirred things up. And everybody's, I mean, things are actually, I think we're fortunate, or many of us are fortunate to live in some pretty exciting times. I noticed even Bill Maher, whom I used to watch many years ago when he had politically incorrect.
We have to go to our first break. We'll be several breaks. This will be our first break, and we'll come right back to you, Don, as soon as this break is over. I can't wait to hear what you have to say. I respect you to no end.
Okay.
Hate to have to interrupt you, but we got to go to our first money-making break. Be right back, folks. This is going to be a short break, so don't be gone long.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
A Bienis is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Hello, Blood River Radio family. Thank you so much for tuning in. And Clint Eastwood there was asking that punk if he felt lucky. Well, I felt lucky. And the Baptists will tell you the show such thing as luck, they say fortune. I'm very fortunate to have two outstanding people on the air today. We're going to go right. Like I said, we have Mr. Don Black, Mr. Don Wasselon, this distinguished gentleman, a Southern gentleman warrior, Christian warriors. I'm so excited to have them on, and so humbled and just appreciative of having them on. And we're going to go right back to Mr. Don Black. I'll have a few questions to ask him, but Don Wassel is going to be leading the lion's share of the interview. But Don Black is a giant, and I will guarantee you Frank White from New York, if he's not able to listen right now, I will send him the archives because he talks about you all the time, Don. He really does, and I know why. Anyway, but right back to you, Don. You were talking about the orange man you were talking about over there at Mar-a-Lago. But continue on, brother.
Well, it's certainly been interesting living here for, in my case, nearly 40 years. And I moved here from Alabama, of course, my home state, and continued the battle down here after having, I hope, accomplished a few things in Alabama, at least as far as awakening people. And I would like to live up to your impression, your image of me. I don't know that quite that impression.
You already have.
I appreciate that. and we have accomplished something. We have awakened a lot of people, and I think given them hope, and that continues on with new generations today. And I just happened, I was thinking about this today, and I just happened to check the keyword Stormfront. And normally we get all kinds of this stuff about this comic book TV series on Amazon Prime, I think it is. I've only watched one. It's silly stuff about superheroes that turn bad. And one of them's named Stormfront, and she, of course, is a Nazi. The creator of that strip actually said that he named her after us. But she's a Jewish actress. She was originally a male in the comic books. Now she's a female. She's media and internet savvy, or was, till she was murdered. And everybody thought she was a good person, but it turned out she was a Nazi, actually born in Nazi Germany. She obviously a lot older than she appears, and the Nazis invented this Superman thing, superhero. Anyway, silly, totally silly. But that seems to be one of our legacies, is this silly TV program where one of the main characters is named Stormfront, whom everybody thinks might be okay, but it's really evil. But anyway, I checked it today, and there's a story about Bill Maher, whom I used to listen to back decades ago in the 70s, 80s, when he had Politically Incorrect, which I always thought must be some inside joke, because he was anything but politically incorrect. He's half Jewish. He said he didn't know he was Jewish. His mother was Jewish until he was in his teens. But he said some interesting things now and then. Well, last night, and Breitbart carried this story just today, he said that he was complaining about anti-Semitism, which was taking hold in this country, and we know it is. We know it is. There are all kinds of polls. The majority of Americans no longer think Israel is an ally of the United States. The majority oppose Trump's war in Iran. And it increasingly, and many of them, most of them actually, coming from the left than the right. But the MAGA movement itself is now fractured because of the increasing understanding of just where our problems are coming from. And there are many, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Tucker Carlson, many, many former MAGA people have turned against Trump. And so we're seeing a split that is liable to continue as more and more people see the truth. Anyway, Maher was complaining about anti-Semitism, particularly coming from the Democrat Party. Interestingly enough, there seems to be more discontent there with at least America's policy toward Israel, and it, by extension, Jews themselves. And Maher was complaining about how all these Democrats were saying things that you would never have heard in the past. He says now it's everyone's right to a free country and a free country to be anti-Semitic. But enough with hiding behind Israel or Zionism or Netanyahu. If you think, as do so many do now, that when it comes to human rights, Israel is the monster country of all time, you either don't read or you don't care about your own hypocrisy, because there's so many worse places. He goes on and on, China, etc. And he says that people talk about Jews these days like something out of Stormfront, except it is not Stormfront. It's the editor of the American Prospect, the venerable liberal publication. So, I mean, obviously we've made an impression, and we influenced a few people, because more and more people are talking like something that came out of Stormfront. Stormfront is down right now, by the way. We got a server crack with a very serious hack. We have had a major impact. So, by hack, I mean they destroyed the server with a Linux damn exploit that was just been discovered, but it's been around a while, but they just now discovered Linux as the operating system. But anyway,
how much would it cost to fix that?
If you have any idea? Something, but I can't put a figure on that. We'll see what we can do as inexpensively as possible. So anyway, that's I don't want to be begging for money on your show right now. So we
sometimes you have to.
Well, we're not right now. So anyway, we will we'll continue on, and I'm very, very happy with what we have accomplished, and we'll continue to do what we can. But they're whole new generations, and they're coming from all sides, or they're not coming from any political side. These are ordinary people that don't really consider themselves one left or right or particularly political, but they are, and you hear it all around, particularly down here, probably more so than elsewhere. You hear it all around. You know, these Jews, you know, why are they doing this in Gaza? You know, why are we fighting their wars? This kind of thing. So it's increasingly, things are coming to a head. And I guess many are fortunate to be here on this the cusp of something, some real changes.
You know, you have something in common that I know I've always said that you were a pioneer. In fact, Don, Stormfront, to my knowledge, was the first, I'd call it technical high-tech podcast or broadcast, whatever you want to call it, because I'm very low-tech. And, you know, you were the pioneer. And we also have another fellow right here, Owen, Don Wassel. He's been doing that type of stuff for years, and he has an excellent, I've called it an online newspaper, AmericanFreedomNews.us, and I go to it almost every day. It's one of the best online newspapers I've ever seen. It's probably the best I've seen, and Stormfront was the original. So we need to broadcast that all over creation, Stormfront and AmericanFreedomNews.us. These two people, dear audience, dear listeners, dear supporters, they're the pioneers. Without them, there'd be no Blood River Radio. There'd be no TPC. They were before TPC. They were before. I was with TPC with James Edwards back in, I think it started with that 20 years. We've been knowing each other over a quarter of a century. And Don Black, as a matter of fact, Don, I got to shut the hell up because I wanted Don Wassel to come in here. I remember talking about you and Brother Dave, David Duke, back in 04, 05, when me and James were out, we used to call it the Beanfield. We had a radio station in Tipton County, Tennessee. And I remember talking about you then. And I remember and Dave called in, and he was appreciative that we'd been giving you two guys accolades that you'd more than deserve. And once again, I'm going to say I'm just tickled to death to have you on. Mr. Wassel, would you like to dive in here and ask Donna, I wanted to tell our audience, I wanted to honor Start from now on. It's hopefully once a week, we have 3 hours on this program, to honor people like Don Black and Don Wassel and Paul Fromm and David Duke and all the old guys. That's what I want to do, because we need to quote Paul Fromm, we need to give honor to our people that have come along and done so much. So with that, Don Wassel, I'm turning it over to you, brother. And it'd be nice if Don Black could talk a little bit about Stormfront and how long it's been around, et cetera, et cetera. But you go ahead and take the ball and run with it, Don Wassel.
Yeah, sure. I know we got another break coming up here, but
we got about a minute and a half.
The names you mentioned, I mean, yeah, okay. We've all persevered for sure, and you know, that's one thing I really appreciate in all the years.
Oh, I was wrong. There's the break. I was wrong. I thought and I have the damn clock. I guess. Oh well, my clock must be off. It must. Well, my thing was down earlier, so evidently it got off. But anyway, folks,
they just want to shut me down. Break. They want to hear Don Black. That's what's going
that's
on.
That's right, folks. Get you a cup of coffee. It's going to be about a 3 or 4 minute break. You got plenty of time, but don't be late coming back. Be right back, folks.
Hi, How would you like to help this program reach more people and earn silver at the same time? Call or text 801-669-2211 for complete details.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall, I'm Rich Thomason. The American military takes out another terrorist mastermind, this time an ISIS leader in Nigeria. Word of the successful operation came straight from the top, from President Trump.
The president announced Friday evening that the U.S. and Nigerian military forces had killed Abu Bilal al-Manuki, a leader of the Islamic State group, in a, quote, meticulously planned and very complex mission. Mr. Trump described al-Manuki as the Islamic State's second-in-command globally and the most active terrorist in the world. Mr. Trump wrote on Truth Social, quote, with his removal, ISIS's global operation is greatly diminished. He will no longer terrorize the people of Africa or help plan operations to target Americans. Bernie Bennett, Washington.
An Israeli airstrike in Gaza has killed Hamas military wing leader Izzaldin al-Haddad. The Israeli military says al-Haddad is one of the last surviving architects of the Hamas-led terrorist attacks on southern Israel. It triggered the war in October 2023. Hamas confirms his death. The ceasefire between Israel and Hamas does remain fragile, with accusations of violations coming from both sides. A big welcome home after a job well done. The USS Gerald R. Ford is back home today in Virginia.
The world's largest aircraft carrier is back at port at Naval Station Norfolk after an 11-month deployment. That's the longest since the Vietnam War. The Ford supported the U.S. war with Iran and the capture of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth was on hand for the arrival Saturday of the carrier group, which included the destroyer USS Bainbridge as well. Bob Agner reported.
Republican Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana is fighting for his political life in today's primary against a challenger who's been endorsed by President Trump. Mr. Trump is backing Congresswoman Julia Letlow. Cassidy, one of seven Republicans who voted yes to impeach Mr. Trump back in 2021. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Larry Elder here. You know, I think a lot of people just accept pain, like, this is just how it is now. I don't think that has to be true. Let me tell you about George. He's up in Oregon, works 10-hour days driving a garbage truck in and out all day. It really did a number on his knee. He said it got so bad, he couldn't even bend it. Now think about that. Trying to work, take care of your family, and your body just isn't cooperating. Well, George tried Relief Factor, and this is what got me. He said, I can bend my knee again with very little pain. Simple, but when you get something like that back, it matters. My brother Kirk had difficulty going up and down the stairs in the morning until he followed my advice. After about a week, he calls and said, this stuff is working. If you're dealing with aches and pains, see if Relief Factor works for you. It's drug-free with a three-week quick start for just $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF. You don't have to just accept living with pain.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Are you watching what's happening in our country and asking, what can I do? Join the John Birch Society in Salt Lake City, June 6th, for a powerful one-day conference. The day includes a host of respected speakers, two meals, and meaningful connections. You'll gain clarity on the issues and walk away with practical steps you can take to your community. Reserve your seat today at jbs.org/SLC26. That's jbs.org/SLC26.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Dear Glen River Radio family, we could easily fill 6 hours, but we got two giants. I mean, absolute giants on the air right now. So I'm going to shut my mouth. We're going to go back. I had asked Don Black, a guy, one of the few people in the world that I still look up to and respect as a hero. The older you get, you see people are not what you thought they were. But Don Black, he's not what I thought he was. He's more than what I thought he was. And so was Don Wassel. I'm going to shut up. I asked Don Black to say a little bit about something that was huge, absolutely gigantic in our movement, was Stormfront that he put together. I'm going to shut up. Don's going to say a little bit about Stormfront, and Mr. Wassel is going to take us to the bar with the rest of this hour. Go ahead, Mr. Black.
Well, we were talking about our respective histories in this cause, and I started in 1969 when I was in a big way. I was already a little conscious a year before that politically. Worked for the George Wallace campaign very briefly when he was running for president in '68. But anyway, '69, I became pretty heavily involved. I met David Duke for the first time in '69, and we've been close friends ever since. I worked with David's organizations after that for a while, for a long time, and still we'll stay in touch, of course. And so by the early 90s, late 80s and early 90s, I was working with Don Wassel with the Populist Party. And I was trying to remember when the Gulf War happened. 91, we had a demonstration down here, several of them actually, opposing the U.S. entry into that war for Israel, yet another war for Israel, even though it wasn't obvious to most people at that time. We can thank goodness that this time around, it's obvious whose war we're fighting. We're not fighting about oil in Kuwait or Saddam Hussein getting nuclear weapons or anything like that. All fake, of course. That war was about Israel. The second Gulf War was about Israel. And this one is obvious to everyone. But anyway, it's been through the years. We have kept up the fight, and I think we accomplished a few things. And so by the early 90s, I was working with the Populist Party and the David Duke campaigns. 89 was the legislative campaign. I went over there and worked on the campaign in Louisiana, and again in 91 for governor. And in 1990, while working for the Senate campaign, U.S. Senate was 90, governor 91, legislative 89. And while working for the Senate campaign, I set up a dial-up bulletin board called Stormfront. And we named it Stormfront because I was looking for an exciting name. What can we call it? So my old friend Jay, who was a younger friend back in 1990, happened to come to the door. He would later become my radio co-host. Just came here to visit a little while ago. Oh. Came by the front door, and he said, I said, I'm trying to think of a name for this. And, you know, bulletin boards have colorful names. We want something somewhat appropriate to what we're doing. And he immediately said, Stormfront. He was going to name his rock and roll band Stormfront. But Billy Joel had released an album by that name. So he didn't want to sound like he was copying Billy Joel. And it obviously we weren't copying. And so Stormfront, perfect. You know, the cleansing of a storm and of course all the other imagery, perfect. So ever since, Stormfront has gone into history, even getting mentioned by Bill Maher last night. So, and a lot of other people every day, but anyway, that that was 1990, a dial-up bulletin board, which we only had a few callers, very few, a handful, most of them working for the Duke campaign, because you had to have a computer and desktop computer and a modem. Most people didn't have that. They did. They didn't know how to use them. And typically, you'd have to call long distance. So anyway, that's where it started. But so it's only a few people for the next few years. And then in 1995, the World Wide Web was becoming more easily accessible to more and more people. So with the web browsers that had been introduced the previous year, one called Netscape, that was the one. There was a graphical web browser. And before that, it had been all text-based. And so we, in March of, actually registered the domain name in 94, but we had technical issues with our provider, so we didn't get the website set up until March of 95. And I worked on it to get it ready all night, because we'd started getting this national publicity all of a sudden, just based on the dial-up bulletin board. Nobody really knew what the internet was exactly, but the New York Times ran a story about high-tech hate, mostly about recordless. Anyway, they mentioned us, and so then all the media down here picked it up. In fact, the Miami Herald and the Fort Lauderdale paper ran competing stories, competing Sunday features on the same day about our little dial-up bulletin board that had some internet access at the time. And then national media picked it up. Then ABC News said they were going to come down, do a story about it. And back then, in publicity with the mainstream media was real important for us to reach people that we wouldn't normally reach. So I was going to take advantage of that. So we got the website going overnight, just in time for them to come here and show them a website, and they would later broadcast it and get a lot of. So for the next few years, we got a jump start with the mainstream media. Now we call it legacy media. But mainstream media gave us a lot of traffic. People never heard of us before. And all of a sudden, all they had to have was a dial-up. Most people had dial-up internet connections back then, AOL, whatever it was. And so all they had to have was one of those, less than half the population, but a significant percentage then. And so all of a sudden, anybody in the world could find the truth. All they had to do was do a search on Stormfront. You'd find us. So everything changed back then. And of course, the usual enemies went to work right away to destroy us. They could not let this happen. They had always controlled the media, and now we have this new media that anybody can access and find out the truth or any point of view. So within 2 weeks of setting that up, the Simon Wiesenthal Center called. We had a provider in New Orleans, so somebody I'd met during the David Duke campaign who is somewhat friendly. So we had our server there. And within 2 weeks, the Wiesenthal Center called up all of his customers, all of his other customers, and told them they got a list somewhere. And they told him to cancel their account if he did not cancel ours. And he was a little ornery, and he wouldn't do that. So we continued to move on. And everything in the world's happened since then. All kinds of tumult, all kinds of crises, and denial of service attacks, and legal attacks, lawsuits, everything imaginable. But we've managed to continue on. And so I think we've reached a lot of people, made a big difference. And we still get mentioned, even by comic book, TV show, weird. I would never have imagined that. But the legend lives on, I guess. So I should be I guess, fulfilled by that. But there are a lot of other people coming along that, as somebody noted during the break, we're not getting old, are we? No, we're not getting old, of course.
Well, of course not.
There are younger people out there, and so there will be others. And they are more conscious of the Jewish question in particular than ever before. Just ordinary people, not necessarily political at all. So many of them are coming from the left, and many from the MAGA side as well. Two totally different types of people, but they have one thing in common: they don't like Jews.
So who does?
They know what's going on. They know the story. So I think there's a great deal of room for optimism here, even though everything doesn't go the way we want. And of course, we have the whole Trump somewhat debacle, but at least Trump, even he's done some good things as far as immigration and all, and he has demonstrated one thing on the other in the, another way. He's demonstrated how powerful the Jews are.
Yes. So, and we'll talk about that as soon as we come back. Be right back, folks. This is our last break, the first hour. Be right back. Don't be gone long.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'm so glad we got these two gentlemen to agree to come back on another date for at least 2 hours. We might even do three. There's so much. These two gentlemen we have on have done so much. I just get dizzy thinking about the accomplishments that they have. Don Wassel, I know you've been there from day one. I know you have some questions better than I have to ask Don. Well, I'd like to get him on the know about it. I think Special Forces, how he got into the Klan. Because the only reason I don't get into the Klan now, I don't want to be anybody trying to control me, because I believe it or not, and I'll say it respectfully, the Klan, they're like passive compared to me. I'm more get in the street and fix bayonets type. And the Klan, I love the guys. Jason Robb is like a son to me, but they're more intellectual, more peaceful than I am. And so how I got off of that, I never know, but I got to shut up. Hey, Don Wassel, why don't you ask Don Black a question or two? I know you've got 1,000 of them. It's just you'd like to bring out.
Well, yeah, I mean, I could reminisce a little bit. I got involved because of the Populist Party, I was interested in that. I was reading the Spotlight newspaper, and they promoted it heavily in 1984, and then that self-destructed, and then we started it up again. And in the meantime, I had gotten involved in Pennsylvania as an activist, and we were running candidates for office, and we were doing what third parties are supposed to do, but nobody else was. So it was decided to organize the Populist Party again nationally, and the national office was in Pennsylvania. I was working as an attorney, and I left that to be the full-time executive director. And that's, we held our reorganization meeting, a national one, in Pittsburgh in March of 1987, and that was the first time I met David Duke. He showed up there. I think he was, at the time, he was running for president as a Democrat. Of course, that was quite a long shot, but it got him some publicity. And he
Jim
decided,
Trafficant was there.
In conjunction. What's that?
No, I said Jim Trafficant was there. Jim Trafficant,
right.
Remember?
And then
87.
I was chicken bone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So anyway,
and then,
I remember that well. But go ahead.
Yeah, we had George Hanson there too, and we actually wanted him to run for president, but he waffled and backed out. And then it came down, basically, yeah, there was Trafficant, but he didn't really want to do it. Then there was Bo Greitz and David, and there was a faction pushing for Greitz and a faction pushing for David. Greitz was an anti-racist, so he didn't like David. And of course, we prevailed the Duke faction, and he ran for president with the Populist Party in 1988. We got him on the ballot in 12 or 13 states, ran a nice clean campaign. In fact, I sent him the mailing list of donors, and that's what he used to heavily fundraise for the special legislative race right after that election. And he was elected to the Louisiana legislature as a Republican. And then he came to our national meeting in Chicago, downtown Chicago, in March of 1989, which was where I believe I met you, Don, for the first time. I know you were there, and you joined the executive committee of the Populist Party, I believe, at that time. And then the next year, 1990, we had a national meeting in North Carolina outside of Greensboro. And I still remember pretty well. I don't remember everything you said because it was over my head, but I remember you standing up there and you were talking about bulletin boards and, you know, ways to connect that way. And I'm sure, you know, we were all low tech. I know I was. But I still remember you talking about that. And of course, you made that into eventually what became Stormfront, as you described. So I was always impressed by that. I mean, you were a real pioneer in that area, a very, very important one. And I'm still low tech. I mean, I have Cass Whipple. I started that back in 2004, and it's still going. But, you know, I rely on a webmaster and other people to fix problems. I don't know how to do it myself, but one of the reasons I did start that forum was because of Stormfront, how successful it was. So even, you know, I've always been impressed by what you've done. And, you know, and I would just say, you know, thanks for all you've done. I know you're talking about lawsuits and denial of service attacks. And, you know, I've certainly gone through my share of headaches and lawfare and things like that, too. And we don't get a lot of thanks, but we persevere. And that's half the battle right there, is hanging in there. And we are seeing an awakening now, as you're talking about, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking the same of you as far as perseverance, not to be a mutual back-slapping club, but I'm really impressed with all these years you've been in this. Speaking of tech, there is this old documentary, Blood in the Face. Michael Moore was part of it before he became famous. And a lot of it was, most of it was taped at Bob Miles' conference in the early 80s. I think it was maybe 82. Anyway, it's got everybody in it. Everybody's there. David Duke interviewed, he wasn't there. They interviewed him somewhere else. And a bunch of other people, you know, that we may or may not want to mention anymore, but, a lot of things, many have died, and some turned out badly. But there were a lot of people there, and they carried little clips of my speech. And I was talking about, speaking of high tech, VHS recording. Boy, oh boy, they were right on the horizon then. And by the next 2 years, over half of American households would have VHS players, and we were going to have the equivalent of our own television network by producing VHS. It was cutting edge back then. Rather embarrassing to see myself now talking about VHS.
I remember David Duke talking about that.
Yeah, the wave of the future.
Throw away your 8-tracks when VHS is coming.
So, but anyway, the internet will, I mean, streaming video. We've got all of that has continued to develop as expected. Initially, of course, there was no video because everything's too slow for video. And then recorded video became available. YouTube pioneered that. But it is, and eventually, as I did predict back then, it will become, we will have the equivalent of our own television network, which we effectively do. In fact, television networks are internet now. Most of them are all streaming rather than wired. So a wired cable, they're mostly IP streaming. So that part has developed. I'm not exactly on the cutting edge right now, but we're staying in there. So yeah, there's a lot that's happened that we should be happy about, and certainly it's been interesting for me personally, bad as it might be sometimes. It's certainly been interesting. So I've known a lot of people, a lot of great people I've met over the decades and years, over the last, how long has it been since 69? It's been too long. It's been, 56 years. So,
I'm just a puppy. And, I've only been at it like 44 years, you know? I'm just still a rookie.
Yeah, well, you'll get there. Just hang in there.
Well, I meant that a little tongue-in-cheek. Seems more like about 100 years at times.
Well, Don Black, I'm going to ask you one quick question. This might be amateur, so I don't know. If there are any 1 to 2 achievements you've made in your life that were the harder to achieve or that you're most proud of? And the next time we get you in, we'll go into that depth. And we are, Lord willing, we will have you and Don Black and Don Wassel back on. But go ahead. What would you say was probably the greatest achievement or the most memorable event in your life as an activist, as a patriot like you are? For lack of a better word, I'll say I'm going to say a white Christian white warrior.
That's a difficult. First of all, you have to qualify. Is it one in which I succeeded? One in which I just tried, and good try, Don.
even if you try, then that makes me think of the man in the arena. Even if you try and fail, that speech, one of my favorite speeches, the man in the arena, I think by Teddy Roosevelt. But anyway, even if you fail, that doesn't matter. Your most memorial event.
Yeah, it would be difficult to come up with a single event because it's just a succession of them. When I first started in 69, we were talking about, the Jews are through in 72. Well, that seemed a little soon to me. It didn't look like that was going to happen. But 76 sounded pretty good. And so for the next few years, I was working toward our centennial of the country, the 1776 and 1976 as our goal for actually winning. And we did accomplish a few things, but of course fell considerably short of actually winning. So now after 50 years later, that is the accomplishment, just hanging in there and continuing to fight after all these years.
I couldn't think of hanging in there, never giving up. Never giving up. I'll check a fact for the greatest accomplishment any of us could do. With Don Black and Don Wassel, God bless you, brothers. We're completely out of time for the first hour. God willing, I want you two guys to come back on again. And next time we'll have to do 2 hours. 1 hour is just not enough time to cover what you guys have done.
Yeah.
Love you, brothers. Nothing I wouldn't do for you. Thank you so much for coming on, guys. I'll be getting, don't worry, I'll be in touch with you guys. Don Watson is going to tell you that. I'm like a thorn in the side, probably. Well, thank you so much, people. Dear Blood River Radio family, what an honor it is to have these two wonderful legends on. We're transitioning now to the second hour. We're going to pick up another legend, Monica Schaefer and Paul Frost. So get you a cup of coffee. Long way. So thank y'all. Thank y'all.